Amen. Well, every step I make, you can hear it over the speaker. I don't know if it's because we don't have very many people in here and it's noticeable or what, but I'll try not to preach to where you can hear it via the YouTube and just keep it as that. But nonetheless, it's good to be here tonight. Give a couple moments for everyone to get signed on. I've seen Sister Kathy signed on and Brother Stephen. It's good to see everyone tonight. I've got Brother James, Sister Eater in my pocket, and going to have a good time in the Lord. I hope that you came looking for a blessing, had a good service this morning. Sure is good to be back in the house of the Lord, and looking out there at the pews. Of course, it's always harder on Sunday nights while we're empty, but yet, for everything's clean, ready to go Wednesday night, you'll be safe to come in. And, you know, I'm thankful for that break that we have, that we're able to get everything cleaned and sanitized to where it's safe. That's our number one goal, is to keep everyone safe and healthy, and yet at the same time spiritually fed. And so if you've got a hymn book with you, take your hymn book, turn to page number 292, His Way With Thee. Now I'm going to play it with some music just because it's a song that we don't sing a whole lot. I do know it, and I like it. It's kind of like, I want that mountain, I don't want to wear it out, but I want you to learn it. So I do sing this one a little more frequent so that you can kind of learn it. And I hope that some of you have gotten to where you're a little more confident with I Want That Mountain. I really like it as well. His Way With Thee, 292, if you're willing and able, we'll stand as we get started here. 292, His Way With Thee. For Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you see that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you that you never can fall? Have His way with thee. I'll make up my own words. Power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential tests? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to come to Your house, Lord, to just sing praises. And then, Lord, as well, as we think about the song we just sang, that we can let You have Your way with Thee. And let us just give our lives over to You, Lord, and our heart truly to You. And Father, I pray that You'd meet with us tonight. I pray, Father, that You'd speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that You would have Your will and way. Lord, I'm thankful that You're not bound to a box. I'm thankful that it's not that we have to have everyone here at the house physically, Lord. But instead, as we look and we come together as a church, Lord, that You still meet with us. And we are gathered together in Your name to give You glory, to give You praise, Lord. And so we know that Your promises still hold true. And Father, I pray that You'd meet with us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Take your hymn books, turn over to page 145. 145, it is well with my soul. 145. 145. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well. My soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. On that fourth, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I'm telling you, I'm thankful that if tonight your soul is not well with the Lord and you don't have to leave that way, I'm thankful you can be saved. I'm thankful He didn't pay for my sin in part, but the whole. And there is going to be a day that we're going to be able to stand in front of Him and just praise Him for the fact that it is well with our soul. Take your hymn books, if you would, page number 183. Oh, how I love Jesus, 183. Amen, 183. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. On the third, it tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. On the last, it tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Amen. Appreciate you coming, tuning in, singing along. I'm sure that it's not because of my great quality of singing, but I'm telling you, if you'd ever just listen to the words of the songs and sing them from the heart. It amazes me at all of these that say that we need a contemporary sound and we need the world sound in order to worship the Lord. And I beg to differ. I believe it all comes from the heart. I believe that if we would just come to that place where we sing, and we sing it with meaning, I mean really sincerely from the heart and truly mean it, that's when it's offered up as a sweet-smelling savor to Him. And so I encourage you, it's not about the fact that they're old and rustic and outdated, but I believe we just need to put a little more heart into them and understand the meaning of them and just rejoice in them. Take your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter number 7, we're back over here at Luke 7, verse number 36. And once again, I've got quite a few verses. I want to read this entire passage to you again. We're not going to look at the woman tonight. We're going to look at the Pharisee. And I would like to place us in the Pharisee's role. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, the Pharisee was lost. You had mentioned that this morning, and I did, and he is and was. And yet, at the same time, I want us to see in the application of how much love he had for the Savior. And that's really where the place I'd like to put us tonight. In Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36, if you're willing and able, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. It tells us in verse number 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You once again for this account as we look at this woman. And Father, how You turned to her and You recognized her and she came to You as a sinner in search of a Savior. And Lord, how You reached down. And Father, that just reminds me of my salvation and how You reached down and You touched me as I came hopeless and helpless in my own self. But I just released it to You. And how I received such sweet salvation. And Lord, as we look tonight and we see this Pharisee and we see the love that he could have administered, we see the life that he could have had, Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight, that we wouldn't get cold and complacent, Lord, as a child of the King. And Lord, that we have lost sight of the souls around us. And Lord, that we have gotten an attitude of such that it's just bitter. Lord, help us tonight to truly see through the eyes of this man. And Lord, then use it and examine our own hearts and our own lives. And Father, let it be to Your glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture, and I can't help but think that there's more than meets the eye. This is more than just a meal that's been prepared. This is more than just an opportunity. I'd mentioned this morning that we don't know why this Pharisee had desired to have him come and eat. I don't know if it was a challenge between the rest of the Pharisees, if it was even an opportunity to be able to dig in and even try to trip him up a little more. I don't know. I don't know why, but I do know that there was more behind it. And the Bible doesn't tell us why and his motive behind it, but there's more to it than meets the eye. And many things in life, there's more to it than meets the eye. And I can't help but think that there's those that have been saved for so long that we come to the place where it just is common. We don't even think about it from day to day. And sure, we might even lift a hand and say, thank You, Lord, I'm glad to be saved. I know Brother Richard had given the testimony this morning that he was thankful for his salvation. And we can all say, yeah, I'm thankful for my salvation. But how real is it to us? I wonder if it's as real today as it was to that woman that day that Jesus had turned around and said, look at her. Her sins are forgiven. Do you remember when He had turned around and looked at you and said, your sins are forgiven? You remember how much love and how much desire and how much joy you had? You see, this meal tonight, this meal that we find in this passage of Scripture is more than just eating. It's more than just entertaining. It could and was a life-changing event. I think of other times that those have came and ate at Jesus' feet. And maybe that's why we're always eating as Baptists. One of the things that we've lacked this year, and I've had people say, you know, can we eat? I know Jonathan had told me, he said, Dad, they're at his church, and all the people had asked him, said, you know, can we at least have a fellowship Sunday? And he's like, not yet. Let's wait just a little bit longer. Let's wait. And you say, preacher, why is that? It's because, well, we're Baptists, and Jesus ate a lot with others. And we could even back up to those few verses that we had seen there in verse number 34, that it tells us that he was they had described him as a winebibber and gluttonous, that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. We know that he had sat there with publicans and sinners at table. We think about Levi, and when Levi got saved, and by the way, you'd call him Matthew, that when he got saved, that he had invited all of his friends, and Jesus came and they sat down and ate. I think about the 5,000. I think about the 4,000. And boy, those that had followed him wanting more of the bread of life. And I think about the 12 disciples that night in that upper chamber. And he said, one of you is going to betray me. And they began to ask who. And Jesus said, the one that dips the sup with me. And Judas eventually says, Lord, is it me? And Jesus said, thou sayest. I think of all of these that have been touched, and then some that came and didn't even eat at the meal. I think about Martha as she had served, and Mary as she had sat and worshipped at Jesus' feet. We could look at the account as well there in John chapter number 12, where Mary didn't just sit and listen at Jesus' feet, but this time she had anointed Him with spikenard. We think about this woman that we looked at this morning here in Luke chapter number 7, that she had came. She didn't come to eat. She came to worship Him. She came to come as a sinner to the Savior. And so I look here, and I would ask us tonight is how we really worship Him, or how we really love Him. How do we really adore Him? You know, it's amazing to me that in my short lifetime, even those that were lost had some kind of a reverence for the things of God. It was just accepted that stores were closed on Sunday. It was just accepted that you wasn't going to have the normal life on Sunday that you would Monday through Saturday. Even if for the lost world, they knew that. But yet today, everyone goes on with life just as if every day is the same. You say, preacher, it's not the Sabbath. I still believe that Sunday's a day of worship. I know you say, preacher, that's old-fashioned. I do believe that it's a day that should be devoted completely to the Lord. And I believe that the Bible teaches that. And so I'd ask us, we say that we love Him, and I'm not just talking about what you do on Sunday, but what do you do on Monday through Saturday? How do you show Him that you love Him? You see, it's really about this Pharisee, and he has him, and he desires for him to come to his place, and he desires for him to sit down at meat, and he wants him to eat with him. For what? He doesn't love him. He doesn't show one bit of affection to him. So what was it about? How do we show our affection to him? I simply titled this, More Than a Meal with the Master. You want to write it down if you're taking notes. More Than a Meal with the Master. Notice this. I find, first of all, his opportunity to learn. His opportunity to learn. I look at this passage of Scripture and I find that he requested the right person. He requested the right person. If he was ever going to learn, listen to me. There's many today that need to come to the house of God to sit and learn. I love it. When someone gets saved, they get up and they think that they already know everything that there is. And all they do is they go back down the same path that they came off of. And some of them just prayed a prayer. And it's a false profession. But some of them truly did come and they got saved. And no doubt they're struggling. But they need to come to the place to learn. But they need to come to the right person. And you say, it's the preacher. No. The Word of God. I look here and I find that even in this idea of the one that he desired the only one that could teach him, and he recognized that in the response that he gave him in verse number 40 when Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, Master, say on. I've always thought it was kind of funny, and I know I'm a hard preacher, and I'll definitely preach against your sins, and I'll preach against my own sins, and I'll preach against whatever is in that Bible, because I know I have the authority to do it. Because it's not me, but the Holy Spirit preaches it. And so I look, and I find that he got the right person to come to eat. He requested the right person. Hold your place now in the book of John, of Luke, but I want you to turn over to John chapter number 3. I'd like to remind you of another Pharisee that came. And he came by night. Of course, in John chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse number 1. In John chapter number 3, in verse number 1, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Brother Sutton and I was talking this afternoon after the service that these definitely were the religious politicians. you want to talk about political just turmoil, and they were the rulers of the Jews. Verse number 2, it tells us the same came to Jesus by night, the same, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May I tell you that Nicodemus had invited the right person. He came to Jesus. He wanted some answers. It was time to learn. I need some answers. Well, you realize that Simon as well invited the right person. I know you're going to say, Preacher, Nicodemus had went to Jesus and he didn't really invite him. No, he invited him to learn. And so Simon, as he desired him to come to meet, it was not just a time that they would have sat down and ate and got up. No, there would have been some learning. I think about some of the old saints and some of the older servants of the Lord. Boy, I'd love to sit down. Old Brother Jenkins, I'd love to pick his brain. I think about some of the older ones that I've been able to be in contact with and sit down and listen to. I still listen to some old sermons from some older preachers. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful in calling them older. They just have more experience than I do. And I want to get a hold of them and I want to learn some things. And listen, old Simon, he desired to sit down and listen to what Christ had to say. But yet, I find as much as he got the right person, he received personal attention. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a personal Savior? Isn't that great? I mean, you think about this. Jesus wasn't just focusing on everyone else. And Jesus didn't just focus on that woman behind. No, no, no. Simon had desired, no doubt, Jesus had focused on Simon and had speaking to Simon. In fact, we know here that this conversation is going on between the two of them. And there's a personal attention. You say, Preacher, God doesn't speak that way to me. Can I ask you, last time you've been in His Word? I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. But I can tell you that every time I read the Bible, in a very familiar passage, God will reveal something that He didn't reveal before. And it'll be what I personally need at that time. I've preached messages, and I will have someone over here get something completely out of it compared to what someone over here gets. I preached the same message, both of them were in attendance, and yet two different areas. Why? Because God's a personal God. He received personal attention. Isn't that good? The right person was in attendance, but Simon was able. You want to talk about an opportunity to learn? Jesus spoke specifically to him. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And old Simon said, say on. I'll listen. Say on. You know, it's the same response that Saul had when Samuel came to him about the Amalekites. And Saul said, stay on. You know, it's sad because he had an opportunity to learn. You ever go back and think about your school days and how much daydreaming you did instead of an opportunity to learn? I'm thankful. I'm not trying to promote Google by any means because it's a very liberal company. But I do like the convenience. Hey, you know, Jacob and I was working on his air conditioner on, I guess it was Friday night. And he said, Dad, what's my temperature need to be on my R134A? And I said, I don't know. I need to look up the chart. And you say, Preacher, you don't have the chart? Well, I used to before Google. And now I've got it on my phone to where I just push a button and it already pulls it up. I've already got it right there. And it's like, well, what's the temperature outside? It's 65. All right, we need to be at this pressure. And your high pressure should be here. And so I look and I think about those opportunities wasted. How many opportunities do we waste to learn from the Lord? I know it's not always easy to sit down, and there's some times, and I will be the first one to tell you that I'll get in my Bible and all of a sudden I start thinking of everything else.
I think of all the things I need to do. I think of all the things that I could be doing. I think of all the things that is going to need done. I think of the things I want to do. Simon had an opportunity to learn. You know, we have an opportunity to learn as well. It's more than just a meal with the Master. It's an opportunity to learn. When we get into the Word of God, it's man doesn't live from bread alone, but from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I look as well that this was more than a meal with the Master. I look and I find his opinion of Jesus as Lord. May I tell you, first of all, he considered him as equal. You know where we get when we get saved for a long time? We begin to look at God as equal. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, not me. No, no, hold on a second. We come to this idea just the same as Simon. He's looking at him eye to eye. May I remind you where the sinner woman was? She was down on her knees at his feet. But Simon was sitting at the table eye to eye. We could look at Luke chapter, or John chapter number 12, and we could think about Lazarus after he had been raised from the dead. And boy, he went from the tomb and he went to the table. And what a great message that is, that he was able to sit and feast with Christ and had that fellowship and that closeness, that oneness. But I'm telling you, we can have that closeness. I think about my own family. I love all three of my boys. And you say, preacher, are you their friend? I would like to think I'm their friend. But before I'm their friend, I'm their father. And there's always a respect level that goes with that. You know what we've lost as a child of God? We've gotten to the point that we lose that respect level. That hierarchy of God is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That He's not just some friend. He's not just somebody that we'd high-five down the road. He's God of Almighty. And Simon considers Him to be just another man, a prophet at best. He considers Him to be equal. I've invited Him into my home, and I'm treating Him, and I'm tending to Him. It's important for us tonight to come back to that place where we call Him Master. It's important for us tonight to come back to that place where we remember who He really is. I think about Peter's profession over here in the book of Luke, chapter number 9. I'll give it to you out of there. It's also in Matthew 16. It's also in Mark 27 through 30. Notice, if you would, in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? May I tell you, this is where Simon the Pharisee was. Answering said, John the Baptist, some say Elias, or others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. And so I look here and I find that Simon had an opinion of the Lord as just an equal with Him. Sometimes we come to that place where we realize that we're joint heirs with Christ. But may I tell you, He's still the only Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. He's the only one. Oh yes, we're His brethren, but we're brethren by adoption. I'm telling you, He's still God. He's still God in the flesh. He's still 100% God, although He was 100% man. He's still the God. He's still Emmanuel. And so I look here and I find in his opinion of Jesus as Lord, not only did he consider him as equal, he humored him with the title. You say, preacher, where do you see that? I look at our text in Luke chapter number 7, and I find in verse number 40 at the very end he says, Master, stay on. This really bothers me because he called him the title that he was due, but he didn't have the reverence behind it. He didn't really mean it. He didn't really mean to stay on. I can see him, and I don't know how it was back in those days. my boys would tell you I'm old enough to be back then, but the truth of the matter is, I wasn't. And I can almost see him saying, "Sure, tell me what you want to say. That's fine. It's okay." But notice that he puts this title before this. He puts this title of Master. Very meaningful title. It's the same as when Nicodemus had came there in John chapter number 3 and called Jesus Rabbi. This was the title that was due him. I'd like to give you the definition of what Master means. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I already know," but just listen to me. When you preach it, you don't have to. The word master means a man who rules, governs, or directs either men or business. A director, head, or chief manager. A lord, a ruler, one who has supreme dominion. Can I ask you a question? Do you call him master and then don't give him supreme dominion? Don't allow him to direct you. Don't allow him to rule over you. I'm not talking about certain aspects of life. I'm talking about every aspect of life. You see, Simon called him master, but he sure didn't have supreme dominion in Simon's life. And yet I find in Luke chapter number 6, if you want to turn back, look at Luke 6 and look at verse number 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that which I say?" What do you mean? I've often been confused in the whole idea of lordship salvation. And there's those that say that lordship salvation is not possible, but I don't know how you can be saved and him not be Lord. Because he saved me from sin. He saved me that I can yield myself no longer to sin, but I can yield myself to righteousness. You know what that means? That I'm going to follow him. What that means is I'm not just going to give him the title of having the authority over me. I'm going to give him the authority over me. And so I look and I find that he had the opportunity, but then he had an opinion. He had an opinion of the Lord. You know how many people I meet today, and listen to me, I'm speaking to Americans, that we say that we love him, but we don't mean that we love him. We say he's Lord, but we don't let him be Lord. We have the opportunity to learn from him, but yet we don't learn from him. What's the book of Hebrews tell us? And as just kind of a side note there, maybe an alibi, in the opportunity to learn, the reason we don't learn is because we're dull of hearing in Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 11. And so I find as well his occasion to love. It was more than just a meal with the Master. He had an occasion to love. But may I show you this? There was none displayed. I bring your attention to verse number 44. And Jesus had turned to the woman. Now, I showed you this morning how he would have been sitting from the get-go. And once again, it would not have been a metal folding chair. It would have been a bench-style seat of some sort. And his feet would have been back here. She would have been here. But then the Bible tells us in verse 44 that he turned toward her. He turned to her and looked at Simon, or was speaking to Simon. And as he did this, he said, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." And so I look and I find there was no love displayed. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" He provided nothing that was considered basic needs. This would have been the basic custom. If you would have had any kind of a guest whatsoever come over, this would have been the bare minimums that you would have done. This would have been the least that could have taken place. as they would have came in, they would have had their feet washed because they'd been walking in that sandy dirt and would have had some comfort placed to them. By the way, they didn't get out of their air-conditioned cars. They didn't come into an air-conditioned building. It would have been a different climate. It would have been a different setting. They would have had those, and it would have been comforting to them. And any host would have easily prepared that for any guest that they would have invited. And none of that was even offered. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? How do we show our love for Him? Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what that word reasonable service means? Reasonable service, and I know it's two words, but that phrase there, reasonable service, it means that it's the very least that you could do. It's the very minimum of it. You're not going above and beyond. I'm telling you, there's so many people that want to wear a badge and a lapel pin and an achievement, a badge of honor and an achievement award for just being a child of God and living like a child of God. Do you remember John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beg you, this is your reasonable service. And yet Simon, he didn't display any love at all. The bare minimums was overlooked. You know what I'm afraid? We need to get back to the basics, folks. We need to get back to where I know that this year has been, the Lord had put it on my heart last year, that this year was strengthening the things that remain. That's us. That's all that remains is us. All the programs have been taken away. All of the opportunities have been taken away. May I tell you that what God wants to strengthen is us. And what He wants to strengthen is our love for Him. Not our love for us. Our love for Him. I think about the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And so I look here, and I find that our love is shown by living for Him. When He came in, there was no love displayed. And this was an occasion to love. None was displayed, and he had no delight. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? Look back at verse number 36. Luke chapter number 7, look at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired. You know, I can think of some things. We're coming up on that Christmas season, It's usually a time to share gifts. And I remember back in the day when I was a kid, you'd get the Sears catalog, the Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm even old enough to remember when JCPenney's had sent it out, and Montgomery Ward, if those remember Montgomery Ward. And you'd get those catalogs, and boy, I'm telling you, as a child, you'd go through there. It didn't matter clothes. Now listen, I'm not saying that our children don't get clothes, but as a child, I didn't want clothes. I wanted toys. I wanted toys, and boy, you'd mark out, and you know, you'd even start to make a wish list, and you'd let mom and dad know, hey, these are some things I'm interested in. If you'd like to know, and maybe you'd even bend the page to where it'd have an earmark there, to where they'd know where they could turn, and they'd see where you'd been looking and see what you'd been circling. And boy, some of them you didn't even need to circle; you just had your fingerprints all over it, to where you'd almost rubbed it raw just from looking at it and desiring that. But you know, I remember there's been some things that I had desired, and then I got them, and they really weren't what I thought they were going to be. They really weren't near as good as I thought they were going to be. May I tell you, I had no delight in it. Isn't it sad to think that this man had to desire for Jesus to come and dine with him? But he found no delight in the meeting. maybe it's because his only desire was for Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. In Psalm 37 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I'd like to expound a little bit on that word delight. That word delight means to have or take great pleasure, to be greatly pleased or rejoiced, followed by in. Did you notice that? It's followed by in. Let me read that verse again. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you understand that our delight comes from being in the Lord? And that word delight is in a more permanent pleasure than joy. Now, I've told you before that no one can take your joy away, but delight means more permanent than joy. And not dependent on sudden excitement. May I tell you that what Simon's delight would have been in, and this desire would have been in the fact that Jesus was coming over. It was a sudden excitement. May I tell you, there was no delight in it. It was temporary desire. But when we have delight in the Lord, it's more permanent than joy. Now, I've told you that no one can steal your joy, but you can sure lose it. You say, "Preacher, how do I lose my joy?" You lose your fellowship with the Lord, and you'll lose your joy. David had said, "Restore the joy of my salvation." You can let sin rob you of your joy. But yet I find here that Simon had only a desire and no delight. Aren't you glad that we can have something more permanent than joy? We can have delight in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires. You know what your desires will be? To have Jesus there all the time. You know what your desires will be? To not see this woman as just some old sinner, but you'll see this woman as a soul. You know what your desires will be? That you don't want this meal to end. That you want to continue this fellowship with Him. That you want Him to stay on. That you want to call Him Master. That you want to let Him know how much you love Him, because you're going to live your life for Him. I'm telling you, he had an occasion to be able to let Jesus see His love, and He showed Him none of it. Oh, my dear friend, I sang page 183, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," on purpose. Because I've often said that we need to make it a question and ask ourselves, "Oh, how do I love Jesus?" Oh, we love Him for all that He does for us. But how do we show Him? It's in all we do, according to His Word. Out of a heart that's sincere. Oh, my dear friend, it was more than a meal. You know what's happened today? We've sat down and we expect Jesus to do something. And we're going to rejoice for that couple minutes that He does it. And then we're going to walk away and forget it ever happened. Sister Sarah had asked me when the last time we sang Count Your Blessings. And I sang it a few Wednesdays ago, I believe. And it is true, we do need to count them because we forget them. But can I ask you, how many occasions have we missed to show our love for Him? Now let me ask you one even better. You can't fix what you've already passed. But may I ask you what you're going to do on the next occasion that you have to show your love for Him? Are you going to just even overlook the basics? We live in a country that says that they love Him and they don't even know Him, let alone showing. How about you, church? I know that the truth is preached here. I know that you have an opportunity every day to show Him that you love Him. Could you imagine if you never showed your spouse love? You say, "Preacher, I tell her. Or I tell him." Sister Woody had a little spot there at her eye where a stick had poked her, and Brother Scooter had pointed out that she was trying to come give him a birthday swat. And I can't tell you how many times she's beat him up and he's beat her up. And we always joke around about it, but I'm telling you, there's those that is real, and that's reality. I love them, but I don't show them. And I know there's even times in my life that I will tell my wife or my boys, and I don't necessarily show them. Sometimes I take them for granted. I wonder when the last time we've taken Jesus for granted. Oh, we told Him, but we didn't show Him. Simon desired, but he didn't delight. My dear friend, I want to delight because it's more permanent than joy. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for the truths that we find in Your Word. Lord, would You help us tonight that we would apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we praise You for it. Thank You for keeping us safe. Thank You for allowing us to come back to Your house. And Lord, we'll just continue to praise You, to show You, Lord. Help us tomorrow. No, Lord, help us tonight that we would show You more our great love for You. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I do want to thank everyone for coming. I pray for you this week. We'll be back in house Tuesday or Wednesday night for our midweek service. It's good to have you all on. Keep the church in prayer, and we'll see you on Wednesday. And then, of course, we'll be back Sunday morning in house, and then Sunday night back on YouTube. All services will be on YouTube, and it's a blessing to have you. Continue to promote. Let others know we need 1,000 subscribers, and we're at 113 right now. But we do need 1,000 to where we can just push a button and I don't have to go through a third party. And it will definitely cut down on some hassle. And so I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And we'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you.